We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I'm going to commence reading at verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 19. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, why are you here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Amen. I want to talk this morning from the subject, why are you here? Why are you here? Thank you, ushers. Why are you here? Every now and then, God has to ask us some questions. Not for his own enlightenment, because we know that he's omniscient. But every now and then, he has to ask us some questions for needed revelation in our own lives. In spite of the assumptions and presumptions that we have about our own selves, about who we are and where we are, every now and then, we need to be asked some questions. Questions to air it out. Questions to refresh the stagnation of the assumptions. If you are to remain a productive, growing, living being, sometimes God has to challenge us by asking us some questions. And I've come to discover that questions come for many reasons. Sometimes questions come to comfort us. Sometimes God asks us questions to comfort us and to assure us. For example, is there anything too hard for God? Oh my, thank God for questions that comfort us. But then sometimes he asks us questions to bring conviction, to bring us into the full awareness of our condition and to locate us in our reality. Like when he asked Adam, Adam, where art thou? And then other times he questions us to bring clarity, to arrest, to indict us. For instance, when Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Every now and then, God has to ask us some questions. The inaugural question posed in this text this morning is pertinent to every believer who has ever found himself or herself alone and at the front door of the wilderness, depleted of emotional resources and spiritual reserves. It is our nature as Christians, as purveyors of divine revelation, as peddlers of hope, that sooner or later we're going to end up scripture quoting, Bible toting, only to find out that we have just been going through the motions. Going through the the motions. There is a secret legacy of depression amongst church folk. And I need to tell you that this sermon is born out of the fact that just last week, a prominent pastor in Macon, Georgia, committed suicide. He pastored a large church in Macon, Georgia, two services, 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock. He came that Sunday morning at 8 o'clock and preached the word to his people. And between the 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock service, he went home. And while they were assembled in the 11 o'clock service, amen, the people of God were waiting on the pastor, but the pastor never showed up. His wife and his children went home to look for him, and they discovered that he had shot himself in the head. He'd taken his own life, and it came out that he'd been experiencing depression. And so we need to know and understand that just because we are purveyors of the gospel, just because we are peddlers of hope, amen, we need to understand with crystal clarity that even pastors and preachers and choir directors and deacons and ministers get down sometimes. There is a secret legacy of depression amongst church folk. And oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, it's acted out in private moments when we cry all by ourselves. It tells on us in public opportunities as we try to outrun and outperform and outsucceed our personal sorrows. What are you doing here? We're here because nobody ever told us how not to get here. Elijah this morning is the tutor for our lesson, if you will. Elijah teaches us that the cumulative effects of doing ministry without being ministered to will leave you sitting in the cave, sucking your thumb and looking crazy. You may not want to hear about it this morning, but I came by just to help somebody because, thank God, I'm a survivor of crazy. I came by to tell you that I know what it's like to turn on the switch and flick the on button and come before the people of God with my Holy Ghost Pentecostal persona and find myself crying before I can get home. I know what it's like to be able to lay hands on other people and they get well. And when it comes to my own problems, I'm sitting around wondering if I'm going to live or die. I tell you, I'm a survivor of crazy. And I got a funny feeling and a sneaky suspicion that I'm not by myself. And if you're here this morning and you know that you're there, I came by to ask you, what are you doing there? Just as God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah said, well, there are a couple of things that got me here. There are a couple of things I want you to watch out for so you don't end up crazy or depressed. The first thing I see in the life of Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19, is that you've got to watch the issue of your sacrifice. Now watch this. Elijah was bold enough, and Elijah was bad enough to say, at my word, there will be no rain or no dew for 3 years upon the earth. He has the power of God in his mouth, and what he speaks comes to pass. Now, my brothers and sisters, if you have the power of God in your life that makes a difference in this earthly realm, then it is no secret, amen, that you have had to spend some quality spiritual time with God. Do I have a witness today? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that if you're going to have power in your preaching, if you're going to have power in your teaching, if you're going to have power in your singing and in your witnessing, amen, then you've got to sacrifice some stuff. You've got to, amen, sacrifice some fleshly desires. You've got to sacrifice some stuff that your carnal man wants to do. Do I have a witness here today? You've got to watch the issue of your sacrifice because if you're not careful, your time of sacrifice will make you bitter. Said it'll make you bitter. What are you talking about, Pastor? Because if you don't handle your sacrifice right, you'll get on the other end of it and you'll think somebody owes you something. If you don't handle your seasons of sacrifice right, you'll begin to covet and resent the blessings of those who appear to have gone through nothing. you'll start saying stuff like, amen, amen. They don't even come to Bible study and they're blessed. You'll start saying stuff like they don't even show up for prayer meeting. They're not interested in prayer meeting, but it seems like God continues to bless them. You'll start saying stuff like, I tithe and I give in the pastor's love offering. And yet, amen, folk who don't give nothing to the church seem to be faring better than I am. You'll begin to get a little crazy. You've got to watch the issue of your sacrifice. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, you'll get a little off. Do I have any witnesses here? You run into church every Sunday and you passing folks sitting, amen, on their porch. You passing folk, amen, headed to the lake. You passing folk headed, amen, everywhere but the church. And it seems like they've been blessed and you're not. I come by to tell you, you've got to monitor. You've got to watch the issue of your sacrifice. The second lesson that Elijah teaches is that we must be careful how we manage a season of silence. In the 18th chapter, it says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, watch this, after 3 years. People of God, you've got to be real careful because sometimes in your life, there are seasons of prolonged silence. You can go too long without a word for yourself. Preach, Pastor, preach. I'm preaching to me. You know, come on. You've got a word for the Sunday school class. You've got a word for your coworkers. You've got a word for your family and friends. But how many of you know that there's a difference in the anointing that is on you for other folk and the anointing that is within you for yourself? And if you're not wise, if you're not careful, you begin to equate the anointing that is on you with the thing that is in you. You can be operating in the gift, but there could be silence in your spirit about your life. There can be marvelous manifestations of power on you, and at the same time, emptiness in you. Oh my. I'm trying to help somebody today. I'm trying to help somebody. I tell you what. There comes a time in the life of every believer, if you're honest about it, where you find yourself giving away stuff that you really need for yourself. Times when people come to you, pastor or brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, do you have a word for me? Amen. Is God telling you anything for me? Amen. And sometimes you want to look at them and say, look here, I'm not looking for nothing about your life. I'm trying to hear something for myself. Do I have a witness today? Be careful of the silence, because other people don't know that even though God is speaking to them through you, you ain't heard nothing for yourself. Giving away encouragement when you need to be encouraged. Amen. Giving away direction when you need some direction for yourself. Do I have any witnesses here? Teaching folk how to walk when you don't even know where to put your foot. Oh my, having to lead folk when actually you don't know where you're going. You've got to be careful how you manage the times of silence. Silence from God has to be taken seriously. That's why you need to get under the word. That's why you need to get in Bible study. Amen. How can you teach other folk and you ain't being taught yourself? I share with my deacons, amen, I was getting ready. Thank God I got my transcript from Southern just about a week ago. I was going to start on my Master's of Divinity. I'm getting ready to go to another level because I realize that if I'm going to take you to another level, I got to get more word in me. I got to get more knowledge in me. I got to get more God in me. Be careful of your seasons of silence. Amen, amen. The third lesson that Elijah says, and y'all, this is really, I'm really preaching to me, but if it helps you, amen, give God the praise. The third lesson is that Elijah says, I'm here because of my success. Elijah meets the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, daring and defiant. He's been strong, amen. He's been doing some powerful stuff. Public demonstration, if you're not careful, will give you the big head. Come on, you've got Holy Ghost manifestations, you've got success, you've got the reputation, you've got the promotion, you've got the title, you've got success. And do you know what? People love success. Did you hear what I said? I said people love success. People gravitate towards success. There are some women interested in me, amen, not because I got a six-pack. I actually have a 12-pack, a little more, amen. There's some women, amen, amen, and I said, I told my mama I was going to quit talking about myself because, amen, I looks all right just like this, and it took a lot of work to get this. But there are a few sisters, amen, they don't care nothing about how I look. They just, amen, they look and see success. He's pastoring over there at Pleasant Hill, amen. I know they're taking good care of him, amen. They done decked out his office. Oh, my, y'all got to go by and see my office before you leave today. Amen, amen. He's doing good, amen, amen. Hey, ooh, I'd love to be first lady. And I know y'all ain't been watching the preachers of L.A., but I watches it, amen. And Pastor Noel Jones, you know, he's single like man. He's got a friend, Loretta, amen. And them first ladies got Loretta cornered over there at the tea. Y'all saw about the tea? And one of them said, now you, when you become a first, Loretta said, what makes you assume that I'm trying to be the first lady? Amen. I didn't mean to go there. All I'm trying to tell you. I'm just trying to tell you that people love success. Let me hear you say that. People love success. But can I tell you something else? They hate successful people. Don't make sense, does it? Oh, my, it don't make sense. Amen. Elijah cried. Elijah said, I'm the only one left. They done killed all the rest of the prophets, and I'm the only one left. Success will make you overly responsible. It'll make you think you're the only one. I want you to know, before you ever showed up, there was somebody. When you go off the scene, guess what? There's going to be somebody. We're glad for you, and you're important, but you're not the end-all and be-all. Don't be confused about your momentary success. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And some of us, amen, because we want, amen, to keep the success going, we run ourselves like the ever-ready bunny. We don't stop, amen. We just kill ourselves, amen, trying to maintain a level of success, trying to please people, trying to make people happy, people, amen, that don't like you anyway, and you going all around the world trying to get folk to like you, and you bending and bowing and scratching folk and doing all that mess, and they ain't gonna like you anyway. I told my secretary right before service, amen, 20 years has taught me some things. Amen. You can't please everybody. Tell your neighbor, you can't please everybody. You done went to the beautician and got your new hairdo, looked at yourself and, amen, say you're looking pretty good. And get around some old mean folk, amen, haters, amen. And why you do that? Why you mess your head up like that? I have come to find that you got to get in the mirror, look at the man or the woman in the mirror, shake your haters off, let them say what they're going to say, let them think what they're going to think, and you say to yourself, I'm all right, I'm a child of God. Anybody in here glad to be a child of the Most High God? You don't care what your haters say. You don't care what they think. You've got to be careful about success. But then the fourth thing that Elijah teaches us, he's our tutor. Elijah ends up depleted and depressed and in the corner needing psychiatric assistance because he has become stalked by seasons of terror and fleeing. There's a bad sister up in here named Jezebel. Jezebel put him on the run. I'm talking about the same prophet, amen, that stood up boldly, flat-footed, and said, it ain't going to rain till I say Jezebel got him in a cave sucking his thumb, then lost his mind. And some of you sisters are sniggling and giggling because you know you got that kind of power. But it's my hope and my prayer that women of God will not misuse, amen, the gift that God has given to you. Whew. Got some stuff I wanted to say, I better not say. There's a role reversal that's happening, and I know it's been happening since the beginning of time, but it's a dangerous thing, amen, because in a lot of instances, our young men are being emasculated, they're being feminized, and sometimes, amen, they take on that role, they take on that aspect because they don't want to appear threatening to other folks. But I told you, amen, ain't no need of you changing your whole persona, your whole personality trying to please other folk. And so it's a weak thing for a man to take on the role of a woman. But then when a woman takes on the role or the makeup of a man, it's a strong thing, but it's still out of order. Oh, okay, come on, let me move on, let me move on, let me move on. Let me move on. Jezebel put him on the run. You know what Jezebel represents? Jezebel represents the spirit of intimidation. The spirit that says, I'm going to take your life. The season of terror and fleeing, you run when you ought to stand. It's the time when you are stalked by the demonic retribution on the heels of spiritual victory. It is the threat which says to your mind, oh yeah, you got by on that one, but I'm going to get you the next time. That thing in your mind that says you look good in that battle, but I'm going to expose you in the next one. The tormentor that threatens to get back at you for what you have done for God. It makes you afraid, and so you run and you run and you run back to a familiar comfort. What are you talking about, Pastor? Amen. I'm talking about those of us who run back to a thing that everybody else thinks you're delivered from. You got to watch Jezebel. Jezebel will get on your trail and have you running back to some stuff that you know, and you ought to thank God that he delivered you out of. Do I have any witnesses here today? Anybody found out that Jezebel, amen, will make you go back to the bottle? Jezebel, if you let her, will make you go back to the weed or blunt or crack or whatever it was. But I've come by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that there comes a time in the life of a believer that instead of running, we got to learn how to stand. I said we've got to learn how to stand. I said you've got to learn how to stand. I said I'm going to learn how to stand. I'm telling you, I refuse to let any Jezebel or any Jezebel spirit caused me to be intimidated, to cause me to run back to stuff that I know I ought to be running away. I refuse to let any devil in hell get up in my face and cause me to be afraid to do what God wants me to do. Is there anybody here today willing to stand on the word of God, willing to stand on the promises of God, willing to stand on your faith in God? God wants us. He wants us to stand. I said he wants us to stand. Finally then, it says, Elijah came to Bathsheba. Bathsheba means the well of the oath. Elijah came to Bathsheba. The Bible says he left his servant there. He went into the wilderness. The Bible says a day's journey by himself. My brothers and sisters, The last thing you've got to be careful of is the shame that causes isolation. This passage reminds me that everybody needs isolation sometimes, but you've got to be careful that your shame does not make you isolate yourself from the very accountability and feedback that will keep you healthy. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, the text tells us that Elijah leaves his servant and goes into the wilderness by himself. The time you need your servant is when you've got to go in the wilderness. But us pastors, us Christian leaders, we want to be real careful that don't nobody know our business, and so we isolate ourselves. We become untouchable. The intercessors have to discern the needs that we have, because we don't want to tell anybody that we have a problem or that we have an issue. I'm trying to tell you, I ain't gonna be killing myself. I'm trying to tell you that I'm not gonna let the devil get me in isolation, that I find myself in depression. Am I by myself here today? You think you're the only one that's ever had a raggedy marriage and you allow shame to isolate you? You think you're the only one whose child ever got on crack cocaine, went to jail when you were a church leader, and you isolate yourself. You isolate yourself by yourself, and you find yourself saying like Elijah, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. But can I tell you something? When you're in the wilderness, that's when you need a friend. When you're in the wilderness, that's when you need your pastor. When you're in the wilderness, that's when you need somebody who knows your stuff. When you're in the wilderness, that's when you need somebody who knows you when you don't have makeup on. I said, when you're in the wilderness, you need somebody who knows how you look when your wig is in the closet. I come by to tell you, I need somebody, and I don't know how you feel about it. I'm glad to know this morning that I've got somebody. His name is Jesus. He's a way maker. He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. He's a heavy load sharer. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? If you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, come on and testify with Pastor. I'm not gonna lose my mind. I'm not gonna lose.